You're listening to episode 187 of Women Worldwide. What do you get when you combine a financial app with gamification? A way to save money? That's fun. So stay tuned. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning in. You make the show what it is today. Okay, let's get to our topic, savings. The year 2018 certainly rolled in with the largest tax cut for businesses, and the president and his administration have touted the strength of the economy. You see that there's GDP growth and unemployment is way down. But as a consumer, you have to ask yourself a question. Are you finding that you have more disposable income? Is it actually easier for you to save money from your paychecks every month? And how much are you really thinking about savings, especially as we head into 2019? Well, this is the perfect segue for my special guest today. Joining me on the show is Lindsay Holden, the CEO and co-founder of Long Game. Long Game is the first personal finance app to gamify savings, a lottery, and cryptocurrency in one platform. Lindsay graduated college with dual degrees in engineering and had the entrepreneurial bug, and I certainly know what that's like. Lindsay has a wide range of experience in strategy, sales, marketing, ops, and fundraising. She's no stranger to funding companies, and the Long Game is actually her second company. Long Game has raised $6.6 million from Thrive Capital and Collaborative Fund. There's a lot that I could share about Lindsay, but I think it's time that she tells her story. Lindsay, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You were bit by the entrepreneurial bug. I definitely can relate to that. Can't relate to the engineering degrees, but being an entrepreneur certainly is something that I find is absolutely amazing, and what a path. And that's why I think it would be great if you could share with listeners, what made you want to become an entrepreneur and launch different companies? And tell us a little bit about your journey to Long Game.
Of course. Thank you. So for me, it really just started with watching my dad. He is a huge influence in my life and was a small business owner growing up. And so I feel really grateful to have been able to watch him run his business, which was he's a veterinarian and he ran a pet hospital in San Francisco. And so lots of animals, lots of, you know, fun stuff there. But being an entrepreneur for me has really been a combination of being a diehard optimist and having, you know, a really sincere interest in problems in the world and wanting to solve those. And I started out my career really caring a lot about the problems in the environment. And that's what I studied in school and worked on that for the first part of my career. And then transitioned sort of with the rise of tech, just started getting interested in tech and getting more involved in technology companies, first through venture capital and then directly building software companies. And, you know, during this time, started getting interested in financial services, more specifically the fact that most people are extremely bad at their finances.
Yes.
and you know, I'm motivated by to learn about that on the micro level, just seeing, you know, myself struggle with finances, seeing my friends and family not planning well, and then realizing this is a huge macro problem. And the interesting thing about it is it's really taboo to talk about your financial stress. So a lot of people have it, and it's not an open conversation with your friends. And I think part of that is really that you feel like you're failing when you're failing at your finances. And it's crazy that you can't talk about that because it's this infrastructure that kind of touches, it enables every part of your life. Like your finances affect, you know, everything you're doing. And it's just an enormous problem that I personally care about. And one day I was watching this John Oliver sketch on the lottery. Have you seen that one?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's really good. So basically, I realized, you know, the lottery is absolutely enormous. 60% of Americans play. They spend $70 billion on average, per year. And, you know, that equates to about $600 per person on average. And that's bigger than any other entertainment. So that's bigger than sports, books, games, movies, music, all of the other forms of entertainment combined. So it's absolutely enormous. If you think about that compared to how we're doing in our financial lives, I mean, it's incredible. And I think when you think about it, though, it makes sense because you have this chance to change your life. And like I said, I'm a diehard optimist, so I totally understand that. So if I'm in Vegas, I am gambling. Like, I feel like if there's something that is, you know, a chance that something great could happen, then it's going to happen to me. And after seeing that and seeing how prevalent Lotto was, I was like, can we take this mechanism that people love and then apply it towards helping people become more financially responsible? And that's kind of the impetus of Long Game. I mean, so Long Game is a mobile app. It's an FDIC insured savings account. And when you are saving money in that savings account, you're getting chances to win up to $1 million in our app. So we're giving you a no risk way to engage in, you know, behaviors that generally are very risky, and giving you some of that upside without risking any of your money.
So you're right. That's the problem that you're trying to solve, is that savings is really tough. You pinpointed the fact that it's not really accepted to talk about your finances. And I actually hear that more from women than from men. I don't know. Have you noticed that?
I think it's pretty across the board. Half of Americans can't come up with a $500 to cover an unexpected expense, should that come up for them. And that means they can't come up with it. So they don't have anyone to ask for that capital, and they don't have it themselves. And so, you know, most Americans are kind of walking a tightrope without a net.
Right.
Once you fall, it's really hard to get back up on that tightrope. And so I think, you know, that's the problem that we're looking to solve. You know, my generation has crippling student loans. We graduate today with an average of about $37,000 in student loans and credit card debt, and then, you know, very little retirement savings. And so I think these are all symptoms kind of the greater problem, which is that, you know, people feel like they're doing a bad job. The reality is that they're very stressed about their finances. And most of the time, the reaction to that is really a lot of people just avoid the problem.
Yes.
It's a coping strategy. It's not a very effective coping strategy, but, you know, half of Americans don't budget. Actually, I have a question for you, Deirdre. You don't have to say, you can say yes or no, but do you know how much you spend on a monthly basis?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably down to the penny, only because we have 4 kids. So the minute my husband and I, second marriage, we blended our families, knowing that those kids were all going to be in college at the same time. So we're probably not the typical family, but we really, really did focus on the expenses that were going to go out every month, what was coming in, and how we were going to try to manage and, yes, save. Because we didn't, I mean, our kids have some debt from school, but we really tried to help them in a way so that they weren't so straddled.
No, that's so wonderful.
But it was hard. I mean, we work, you know, day and night. We love what we do, but certainly I'm not sure if we're actually the norm.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really, I think, you know, knowing is the first step, right? And I think the problem is that when you feel like you're failing at something, a lot of people won't engage with it. And so there's this kind of tendency that happens where, and I don't know if any of the listeners out here had this happen, where you kind of don't know if your balance is $25 or $15 in your account. And you just instead swipe for that 20 because you're just hoping it'll just work out. And it's kind of better not to know rather than knowing and knowing that you can't afford it.
Which is not a good coping mechanism. I will say in all transparency that in my previous life, so let's call that with the first husband, I saw money coming in, but I can't necessarily say at a younger age. And with one child, I was as diligent as we were in this new life with four kids. So that's a big learning lesson and change. So I definitely can relate to what you're saying with gamification. So do you feel gamification makes people feel more comfortable? Gamification makes it fun. So that's why they want to save. Gamification is something that they identify with because it's in other areas of their life. Why? Why gamification? And what's that upside to the way that you do it?
Yeah, I mean, so it turns out how we feel really matters. And we don't, I think, pay attention to that, to people's feelings, especially in finance, but also in a lot of, technology in general. And so our goal is to bring, a joy and a magic into your finances. And our strategy of achieving that is to use games.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you. No, you see it just everywhere in our app. So you kind of nailed it. It's really in the graphics and the characters. We have, a lot of sparkles and we use games of chance. And so all of a sudden saving is exciting. It feels different. And I'm doing something good for myself. And then I still have the thrill of the lotto and the potential to win cash and change my life.
That's really cool. I'm sure as you were launching and doing something different, because it, like you said, it is around feelings and you're making people feel really good to do something for themselves and to use gamification to do that. Did you experience any challenges with this particular company as opposed to the last company that you launched?
Yeah. I mean, we're creating something entirely new. So we're taking two extremely different things and combining them.
Yeah.
In finance. And so there's a lot of resistance to that idea, especially at first from investors, from...
Yeah. Resistance is something that's all around us. I mean, I think just under normal circumstances, I think every day we face resistance. So you're right. When it's something that's so different, there must be education also involved.
Yeah. I mean, so our philosophy at Long Game is that we educate people by helping motivate them to do the right thing with their finances. So certainly there is. And we just make it really enjoyable to save. So, people get to have that vacation that they wanted or pay for that extra class. And this is really meaningful change that we see in people's lives. And they didn't get there by grinding through it, right? They get there by playing games in our app.
And how was it, any difficulties with the technology or getting the app to do what you wanted it to do? Or you just had the right team of programmers, you had your vision, and you just made it happen?
It's definitely hard to build a financial technology company because, you need to have a banking partner. We had to convince them that gamification was the way to go. I think when some of the resistance for us early on is people were so resistant to the idea. And we thought, we really have to make this app feel like a bank, right? So the first design of Long Game was really kind of clean feeling. It had very minimalist design. And then, as we kind of expanded, we realized that it didn't need to feel like a bank. We provide a beautiful interactive interface for people. And so kind of as Long Game has continued on, we've made it more and more gamified and more beautiful, more visual. I mean, yes, it's definitely a journey, probably like most people that come on your podcast.
Learn as you go. It's not always the way when you're an entrepreneur. Tell us, so in the intro, I mentioned, you already mentioned the lottery. but I mentioned cryptocurrency also in your platform. Maybe you could just share what is cryptocurrency for those listeners who want to know a little bit more about it, and how does it play a part of the platform itself? We just need you to break it down in layman's terms.
Okay, great. Yeah, so cryptocurrency is a new asset class. There's a new technology out there called blockchain. And blockchain is essentially a new way of storing and distributing information. And people have built currencies on top of that, but they've built all other types of technologies. And it's really exciting technology. I think at Long Game, we believe it's going to change the world. And it's a really exciting time in crypto and in blockchain. But it's super volatile still. So it's a really early market. And we had a lot of our consumers say that they were really interested in crypto. It's even though it's a really exciting thing to get involved in, it's not necessarily the most responsible place for you to put that first $500 that you're trying to save for a rainy day. And so we decided to add crypto as a reward in our app. So in Long Game today, you can win Ethereum and Bitcoin, and you can earn other cryptocurrencies. And we use that to encourage more savings. And we also use that as a chance to educate our consumers about blockchain and about cryptocurrency. It's just new, and it's just, I think, mainstream consumers are looking for more ways to learn about it.
So everybody is, or I shouldn't generalize, most are familiar with the term Bitcoin, but you mentioned Ethereum. Maybe you could just say what the difference is or why they're separate.
Sure. Yeah. So Ethereum it's a very ambitious project, and the goal of the project is to transform the world's computing network. And so what they're doing is Ethereum is a distributed computing network. It's on blockchain and it's all transparent and it's managed by a community of developers. And they are sort of like, think of it as the app store of blockchain. So they're building an infrastructure for other apps to launch on. And so this is really powerful. And there's been thousands of new projects that have launched on Ethereum today. And one of them is a cryptocurrency called Ether. And Ether is the, you know, corollary to Bitcoin, as you say. But Bitcoin is built on the Bitcoin blockchain. Two different blockchains.
Got it. That's really interesting. Do you think the folks who are using your app are more likely to start with, let's say, the lottery as opposed to the reward of the cryptocurrency? And will having cryptocurrency attract people who actually understand that space and are interested in that type of asset?
I think, you know, coming into Long Game, we think of it as just an additional reward. So there's all different kinds of rewards for taking responsible financial behaviors in Long Game app today. So we hope you'll come to increase your savings and then you'll have fun with the rewards that we're providing. What was the second part of that question? Sorry.
Oh, if you'll attract people who sort of play in the Bitcoin, Ether, or Ethereum space.
So the users that use Long Game today are generally about 26 years old. So more than half of our consumers are under 26. They're almost entirely all under 30. And this is a population that is really interested in crypto for good reason. It's a really exciting technology. And so I think we do attract some consumers that are interested in cryptocurrency because we've launched that product. But generally, I'd say almost all of our consumers are already hearing about it and they've had friends that have invested in it or they have themselves. And so now this is just a cool new way for them to earn more of it for saving money.
I think it's fantastic that you said half of your consumers are under 26. Lindsay, that you are powering up this younger generation to think about savings and to do it in a way that makes them feel good. I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsors. I'd also like to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network, and you can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, you might as well check out all of the other great business podcasts as well. This episode of Women Worldwide is brought to you by PrepDish. Let me ask you something. Do you struggle with prepping your meals in advance? And are you tired of asking yourself over and over again, what should I eat today? And better yet, are you sick of your family asking you, what's for dinner? And then hearing, oh no, not that again. Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore. That's where PrepDish comes in. A subscription-based meal planning service, PrepDish is going to save you time and helps to make your dinners much more appealing and really tasty too. It's so simple. Here's how PrepDish works. Every week, you receive a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. You know upfront all of the ingredients that you need to have to prep for the entire week. You do your shopping. You set aside 2 or 3 hours to prepare everything in advance. So for example, prepping on a Sunday sets you up for the entire week of meals. And if you think about it, your meals just became easy. You're saving time, you're more efficient in the kitchen, but best of all, you and your family are eating meals that are different, nutritious, and delicious too. I love the sweet potato frittata and the superfood salad, so you might want to check those out. So that's why with my crazy schedule, I let PrepDish do the planning for me. And now you can too. PrepDish has a fantastic offer for you, the Women Worldwide listener. You can go to PrepDish.com/worldwide and get 2 weeks of PrepDish free. Try it. You'll love it. PrepDish.com/worldwide.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Yesterday's techniques won't work. Today, you have an opportunity to expand your communications approach with fresh, creative, and effective ways to power up your brand voice through new channels and to interact with more value and meaning. Pure Performance Communications will work with you to move audiences from awareness to action and impact. You'll foster greater engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Let us help you uncover what's holding you back and help you to carve out a marketing PR roadmap to success. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com. Now back to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Lindsay Holden, CEO of Long Game, and I were just chatting about her savings app and how you can gamify your savings. Lindsay, we were sharing about the under 26 crowd and how that's the most popular audience using your app. You've done so much in a short time, launching your companies and now Long Game. Maybe you could share just a little bit about what you think you've learned about yourself since maybe your first company launch and now Long Game.
Sure. I mean, I think in startups, you just learn a lot about your strengths and weaknesses. They become very apparent to you. And early on in my career, I really thought I had to be good at everything, right? And as you move through your career, you start to accept yourself a bit more and build guardrails around your weaknesses. And a lot of that is team building. So for example, I'm a lot more results oriented than process oriented, but oftentimes you need processes to get results. And for a process person, it can be really hard to understand non-process people. So that's important context to be able to give to your team. And so we did a cool exercise actually recently where we had everyone on our team take whatever personality assessment they wanted and then present to the rest of our team about themselves. And it was really fun.
That's great.
You get to learn about each person. They talk about their strengths and weaknesses. And then it makes you a lot closer in understanding of each other and be able to work together better. And so
that's really interesting. Was there anything shocking for you that stood out from your personality test, whether it was a strength or a weakness?
No, you know, it's funny because it kind of, what stands out is you're like, oh, that's right, you know? So I took the Enneagram. I don't know if you know that test.
No, I don't know that one.
It's free. It's online. It's great. I highly recommend it. I am a 7, which is an enthusiast.
Nice. Entrepreneurs have to be enthusiasts. That's good. <Yeah.
laughs> So it was great. Yeah, it was really fun to do that with my team.
That's great. I like the way you framed how you said you have to have guardrails around your weaknesses. And clearly the personality tests can show you strengths and weaknesses so that you're able to build the rails, which are putting people in place who can actually help you and to make things work. Was there anything, I mean, I just remember when I owned an agency, you discover your strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes there's things that are a weakness, but you don't want to give them up. Is there anything that you ever had to give up where you're like, wow, I really kind of, I like that. It's too bad that I'm not doing a good job at it.
Let me think about that.
Or maybe you were just one of the lucky ones.
I don't know. I feel like when I'm not doing that well at something, I'm willing to give it up.
Absolutely. As most, as most are. No doubt about that. So what about accomplishments? Maybe you can share biggest accomplishment ever, and then maybe biggest mistake ever, if you don't mind sharing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest accomplishment, surprise, surprise, is Long Game. And it's just, we've created something completely new. It's helping a lot of people achieve their financial goals. And we're doing it in a way that I'm super proud of. Think about, you know, the way banks are today. I won't name names, but what are their motivations? You know, and I think if you think about that, it's the bottom line, right? And the way we think about Long Game is that we're just really focused on helping people. We really want to make meaningful change in their lives. So that's definitely the thing I'm most proud of. My biggest mistake. I don't know if I believe in mistakes. I mean, in that way, you know, I think mistakes are how we learn. And so maybe the biggest mistake is not making more mistakes sooner. Because once you make them, then you've learned that thing, right? And so I don't know. I think regret is not a super useful emotion to cultivate, because we can use these things that we're doing to help learn and grow and become better.
Yeah, in other words, the regret. So I know that I've made mistakes in the past, and you have a certain period of time, a short window, to reflect. And you know you've done something wrong. But I think if you regret, you get stuck. So is that kind of what you're saying as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And as an entrepreneur, I find that everything moves so quickly. And as a, you know, you're working clearly with a team of people. If one part of the team gets stuck, it's almost like the bottleneck for the rest of the team. And then the engine just doesn't run as smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's useful for the team to learn collectively, right? So if there's something that, you know, we didn't launch perfectly, or we had, you know, a feature that our customers didn't like, we talk about that right away and, you know, make changes if necessary, and then keep going.
Right. So you said something really interesting. You know, you said, think about banks, and, you know, we're not going to call any out. Is Long Game taking the place of a bank for savings? And do you think this is the way that we're moving? Because of technology, fintech.
Yeah, I do. So Long Game today is, you know, gives you an FDIC insured savings account. So it is comparable to your savings account. You earn 0.1% interest, and you can win cash. So, you know, in that regard, it's the best savings account out there. And we do plan to move into other banking services. So we are launching checking. And, you know, we hope to basically provide everything that our customers need to manage their financial lives. So, you know, we'd love to help people repay their loans and invest for retirement and those type of things. And so as we expand the company, we we'll have rewarded services for all of those things so that people can, you know, really improve their financial lives in a way that feels emotionally resonant and fun.
Will you, and maybe you can't even answer this question because it's so far down the road, but you see some of the commercials, I don't know if it's TD, but it's like you have the advisor and you're talking so candidly about things that, you know, you're really sharing things that are going on, and that's why you trust your advisor. Does it become more than an app when you start offering things that your customer needs, let's say investing for retirement? Will there be an opportunity to have a human interaction through the app? Or is that something that is just way far down the road?
That's pretty far. I think the near term is to use technology to help people plan and make suggestions by rewarding them for good behaviors. And today, long game, actually, everybody's long game account looks different. So if you go onto your long game home screen, it's not the same as the, you know, next person's. And that's because we use personalization. So each of, you know, your goals are going to be different than other people's. And then we have these home screen cards that are kind of optimized around what you like to do in long game. So that's just the kind of the infrastructure that we'll use to continue to grow out the personalization of our app.
I think that's fascinating. So what about, you know, with technology, it definitely comes stress, whether you're the consumer or you're the entrepreneur who's building the financial tech platform. So do you find that you have a lot of stress on a daily basis? Is it high stakes, hardly present? What do you think about your stress level?
I mean, of course, there's demanding things quite a bit with the company, but I think it's really important to focus on what is the energy and intention with which you're showing up to that work. And, you know, we have a great team and we have a lot of fun together and we're building a product that we truly believe in. And so I think even though there's a lot of demands on us, we show up to work excited about building long game and about providing a platform that people love.
Yeah, no, it really sounds it. We talked a little bit about challenges. If there is a situation that you guys are moving through or you have to tackle an obstacle together, how do you do that? How do you actually manage tackling those challenges as a team?
You know, I think a lot of what I like to focus on, and I think a skill that you learn as an entrepreneur, is all around truth telling. And it sounds pretty basic, but if you think about, you know, your ability to see what's going on in the situation and then bring it to the surface and then deal with it head on is really important. And you build trust on your team if everyone's doing that effectively in a way that's just aligned towards the same goal. And so, you know, we have a pretty candid work environment. People, I think, feel very emotionally safe to kind of say what's going on and to address those problems quickly.
That's awesome. I mean, if truth telling is something that goes, you know, as a part of your culture, it does make it a lot easier to head something off, to get to the root of a problem. I mean, being in public relations, sometimes when things happen, if you don't understand the problem and kind of get the views and the perspectives from everybody involved, and if it's not the truth, then there's no communication, there's no tactic that you can put in place that's going to solve it. So I really like that you said truth telling. And that does sound like a part of your culture.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a little bit hard at first, but it gets easier. And it's one of those things that really pays dividends.
Yeah. And I think it starts from the top, Lindsay. So if you are the lead truth teller, that trickles down to everybody else. And when you come into a company and you see how candid people are and they're willing to share how they really feel to get through whatever's going on, then new people coming on board are going to act the same way. They're not going to go against the grain. So you're definitely onto something there. Kudos to you guys.
Oh, thanks.
All right. So we've talked a lot about Lindsay at work. Lindsay with her team, Lindsay in stress with the team. What do you do when you're not working?
I spend a lot of time with my friends and family. So hanging out with friends, is that a hobby?
Yeah, it could be the hobby for the entrepreneur.
I like to cook. I cook dinner probably about once a week for people. And I think that's, it's nice to have a task that has kind of like a beginning and end, and it's a little bit therapeutic, or you kind of get into that task and you have a wonderful finished product. So I enjoy cooking as well. I went camping this weekend.
Oh, wonderful.
It was a really fun little trip we did.
Is it the kind of camping where there's no electricity and so it's not like you can take your blow dryer with you?
Yeah, we did a little kayak out, and there's certainly no electricity where we went.
That's hardcore. That's the hardcore camping. Do you think you're finding more, I'm going to use this word in quotes, free time now that your app is launched and you're kind of rolling along? Or really there's no difference whether you're pre-launch, at launch, post-launch?
Oh, I think we have, once you get your app out into the wild, you have more to do, right? Because you have a bunch of customers and you want to provide a service that they love. And so there's more motivation to keep going and to work on projects that are meaningful.
Customer always comes first. That was such a good answer. Okay, so maybe you could just give us a little bit of advice. What would you say to other entrepreneurs who want to get out there and do something new, do something different, pursue their goals and their dreams?
I would say that they should be the change that they hope to see in the world. And I think it's really tough sometimes, but it's worthwhile, and the challenges and the successes are all equally valuable, and it's all about embracing that and pursuing your dreams.
Be the change they hope to be. Amazing. All right, Lindsay, last question. This one is super easy. Where can people find out more about you and Long Game?
So you can find out more about Long Game on our website. It's longgame.co. And we are in the Google Play Store and in the Apple Store.
Nice. Well, I hope everybody checks out Long Game. Women Worldwide listeners who are thinking about saving toward the end of 2018 into 2019. Yeah, Long Game. Gamification, lottery, cryptocurrency, all really great stuff, Lindsay. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey and your savings app. We really appreciate all of your advice and your insight today. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. You are helping to power up the voices of the many women out there like Lindsay who are champions. They're entrepreneurs, they're brave, courageous, doing great things and making a difference. And you all make Women Worldwide what it is today. So remember, we love to hear from you. Please, if you have a moment, rate us on iTunes or give us a shout out on social media. We're there and we're always happy to have a conversation. Okay, friends, until our next episode, you know the drill. Stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.